Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
It ain't the left side or the right side, and it must be the fin side.
Hope everybody's doing good. We're going to be getting right to our quarterback preview here in just a moment. So give us a second here. Kat's getting back on the air right now as we speak. The beauty of going live, being in two separate states, we sometimes have these technical difficulties. So not a worry at all. Kat, welcome back, buddy. I'll let you go back into your spiel here. This is what happens when we do it at lunchtime.
Started off draft season on a rough note here. I just kicked myself off.
That was the equivalent of our Dolphins first round picks right there.
Well, welcome everybody here. And so as far as the quarterback position is concerned here, it's not going to be as exciting as the 2022 draft season when we talked, or even 2021 when you had five quarterbacks going in the top 15 picks of the draft the year after they did the Dolphins drafted Tua. But Paul, and you may have already mentioned something about this, but as if it needed to be said, Mike McDaniel made it very clear that Tua is the starter, Teddy Bridgewater is the backup. And, you know, based on this, these news stories that have come out of nowhere from the media, it's embarrassing that it needed to be said. Everyone knew what was going on when the Dolphins signed Teddy Bridgewater to back up Tua, but it did need to be said.
Yeah, as if the media didn't have enough to write about right now, the fact that Teddy didn't definitively say what his role is, just that he knew his role and was very accepting of it. The media tended to take that and just run with it and create their own little microcosm of a story and controversy. That doesn't sound like the media at all, does it, Kat?
Yeah, and Mike Florio expected Bridgewater to come out and say, "Hey, I'm Teddy Bridgewater. I'm a loser, and I'm only a backup quarterback, guys." That's what he expected. Otherwise, it's this big news story. No, it's Tua is the starter this year. That's the reason, a big reason why Mike McDaniel was hired. And I'm excited that an offensive mind like Mike McDaniel was so eager to come here to the Dolphins and work with Tua, right or wrong. I mean,
didn't he also say that the Brady thing was baloney?
I'm not sure. I never paid attention to the Brady thing to begin with.
I know, but didn't he actually come out and say that? I thought he did.
I don't know. I'm not sure. You probably know more about that than me. I mean, I very rarely listen to news conferences or anything like that because I'm going to hear about them anyway if there's anything noteworthy. Otherwise, it's just people saying the same thing, politically correct, over and over again. So you probably have a better pulse on that than I do. But about Tua, before we get into these quarterbacks here, I am not a Tua, what you call, believer, okay? I've never been. I wanted him to be the draft pick, fifth overall, over Justin Herbert. I'll admit my mistake on that. But two things can be true at once, I say. Number one, Brian Flores and the Miami Dolphins over the last 2 years could have written the book on how to not develop a quarterback. Put him behind the worst offensive line in the league. At running back, the Dolphins last year were bottom three in both yards per carry and yards run. Their receivers were one of the worst in the league in yards after catch. That's not the case this year with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, and one of the worst in terms of metrics and as far as separation. That is a terrible situation for any young quarterback. Not to say the other ones couldn't have overcome that, but for Tua, it's been terrible. And then part two, it's also true that even with a great supporting cast, Tua may not be good enough physically. But if that's the case, then you move on here after this year. But what I like and I'm excited about is he's going to be given every single last opportunity for the Dolphins to know who he is.
Yeah, and I think his floor, if he can stay healthy, his floor in a good scheme is good enough. And that's not saying he's definitely going to be a great quarterback. I see some stuff that I like as potential for him. He could develop into a very great quarterback, especially given the right scheme, which I think we'll finally have. And this is something we haven't been able to do. Like, as you said, I wouldn't say we had the worst offensive line in the league. I think we manufactured the worst offensive line in the league. We didn't have a great line. The players that have talent are young guys with some promise that weren't being coached up very well. And then our scheme was so atrocious, it took a low-end offensive line and made them the worst in the league. And that's an important distinction as we get teachers in the building. It really, truly is.
I somewhat agree with you to a certain extent. I also say that it is a clear talent issue too, and it has been up until this point. Because, look, I said in 2020, Austin Jackson is not a good football player. He is at USC. He was not good in his final 2 years there, or his final 2 years. And if you look at his final year there at USC, he played three NFL quality opponents, Bradley and I, Julian Okwara, and AJ Epenesa. He whiffed against all of them. And then Liam Eichenberg, you're not going to make his arms longer. You know, that's what it comes down to. But what I do like is that now you got Teron Armstead and Connor Williams there in the building. You take those resources now, Austin Jackson, Liam Eichenberg, maybe Michael Dieter too, and you push them over to the right side. It makes that offensive line better. And it's quite possible still the Dolphins will add a center or a veteran right tackle along the way here still.
It is possible. I mean, we've still got Robert Hunt in the fold as well, which is awesome. So, yeah, but as we said, this is our quarterback preview show for the NFL draft. We're not avoiding it just because we don't have a need at quarterback and we don't have a pick in the first two rounds.
Yeah, and we'll see if any of these guys interest us with the Dolphins having, as of right now, five picks, third round, fourth round, fifth round, and 2 7th-rounders. Taking a look at this group, Paul, and it's been clear for several months now, really, who the top five guys are in no particular order. Kenny Pickett from Pittsburgh, Malik Willis from Liberty, Sam Howell from North Carolina, Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati, Matt Corral from Mississippi. Again, no particular order on that. I'm curious, if the Dolphins had a need at quarterback and had a pick in the first couple of rounds, if you were the Dolphins GM, where you would rank these top five guys here? Because there's so little separating them in a lot of, draft neck circles here.
Among the top five, I'd say Malik Willis, or I'd panic, and I wouldn't love saying Malik Willis. I think you have to overdraft to potentially get a possible backup quarterback amongst those top five this year, with Malik Willis showing the most promise out of all of them.
So Willis one, and then from that point, Pickett, Howell, Ridder, Corral. How would you stack those?
Pickett's the number two, but it's then I guess I'd go Howell, Corral, Strong. But it's ugly. It's so very ugly.
So Strong, I didn't even include. So you would have Strong above Corral?
I'd Corral above Strong.
All right. So for you, Willis, Pickett, Howell.
Howell. I'd put Howell above Strong here. Sorry.
Okay, so stick with me. Willis one, Pickett two, Howell three. Then you've got Ridder, Corral, and Strong as your four through six.
I've got Ridder above Howell, and then Strong, Corral.
Okay, so for you, it's Willis, Pickett, Ridder, Howell, Corral, and then Strong.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. It sounds good. Mine's not too far off. So we'll get into this, the players, a little bit more in just a sec. For me, number one, Malik Willis. Two is Pickett, Kenny Pickett from Pittsburgh. Three would be Howell from North Carolina. Four, Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati. Five, Matt Corral from Ole Miss. And then for me, Carson Strong is a little bit further off the page, very simply because of his injury. But anyway, Malik Willis, we talked about this a little bit in our mock draft episode here that, you know, the thing that comes to mind for me with him, yeah, I mean, he's a quarterback out of Liberty, and he didn't dominate at Liberty. I mean, he had 27 touchdowns, 12 interceptions last year, which are good numbers. But when I look at him, I take a look at the quarterbacks from years past who had the clear physical skills. Like, and I think a lot of people have revisionist history about these quarterbacks, like Pat Mahomes, like Deshaun Watson, like, you know, Lamar Jackson, these guys who are now in the top 10 in quarterbacks, they were, a lot of these guys were a mess coming out of college. Josh Allen's another one. Josh Allen back in 2016, the year before he came, or excuse me, 2017, the year before he came out for the draft, he had 1800 total or passing yards and 16 touchdowns in 12 games for Wyoming at a 56% completion percentage. But you saw the physical skills. So in our mock draft, I had Malik Willis going second to the Lions because I'm thinking if you really want to move the needle as an organization, you've got to make a move like this to me. Because if you draft a Kayvon Thibodeau, even if he's good, you're probably going to still win only 5 games next year. So he's somebody that could go in the top 5 or top 6. He's somebody who could fall out of the first round.
He will go in the first round. I'll say that pretty definitively, even though for me, and he'll go in the top half of the first round. For me, he's a bottom half of the first round talent-wise, but he's the only quarterback I'd even really truly consider other than the, oh God, I need a quarterback movement in the first round, if all things were equal.
Yeah, I mean, he's a transfer from Auburn. Like I said, didn't dominate at Liberty, but if you're talking about somebody with 4.4 speed and can throw the ball like he does, those are the traits and the tools you want to work with. And if he goes to the Lions, I think that's the best situation. And the Lions would probably end up trading down to get him or trading back up with a 32nd pick instead of using the second overall. But if that's not possible, maybe they do pull the trigger on him really early. That's more of a gut feeling for me at this point in the process, because he can sit behind Jared Goff for a year or two. Goff is good enough to keep the Lions competitive till then. Number two for me is Kenny Pickett. To me, the most refined pocket passer in this draft, mechanically sound, and 42 touchdowns this past year. But the question I have is, what happened the 2 years before that when you threw for 13? You went from 13 touchdowns in back-to-back years in 2019 and 2020 to 42 touchdowns in 2021 in his final year as a senior on a Pitt team that won 10 games. So he's somebody that I actually had going sixth overall to the Panthers in our mock draft. And I could see that still because I don't know what else the Panthers are going to do at the quarterback position. And he's somebody you can slot right in there. But again, those are just predictions right now because these guys could really go anywhere.
Yeah. And for me, so I happen to know that Dan Campbell is very big on Tim Boyle behind Goff, very big on him, like potential wise. And like, if they can develop him, and Dan does weird things. We know this. We're Dolphin fans. We're very aware. And I don't see him also grabbing a quarterback just to grab a quarterback. I don't think he looks at Malik Willis and says, oh my God, we're at number two and we got to get this guy. Now, if the Lions trade down, I can foresee that happening. But I think if they trade down too far, you're going to see the Panthers or the Falcons or one of three or four other teams in that top 15 that truly and direly need a quarterback, go ahead and grab him. And I also think that the Steelers are going to go quarterback come hell or high water. And that's where I see Kenny Pickett going in the first round, even though I don't view him as a first round talent.
Yeah, I think that's well said on Pickett. And yeah, if the Lions traded down with the goal of trying to still get Malik Willis, it would be so telegraphed that somebody may jump ahead of them if they wanted him. Mike Tomlin is said to love Malik Willis and they picked 20th. Now, I will say this, too, and even though I mocked a quarterback to the Steelers in the first round, we can we could do another little side bet here too. I think the Steelers don't draft a quarterback because they tend to prefer. It doesn't strike Mike Tomlin and the Steelers team does not strike me as a team that would reach on a quarterback. But you never know. I mean, I think they would much rather add another starter and try to zig when the rest of the league is trying to zag in the AFC at the quarterback spot. So I see him sticking with Trubisky. Not saying that's the right move, but and also too on Dan Campbell before I throw it back to you.
That's an interesting zig, like committing to not really having any quarterbacks in Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, Dwayne Haskins. And I think they've got a fourth guy on the roster that's so bad he's behind all three of them clearly. If Pickett and Malik Willis are off the board, that's when I see Tomlin waiting till maybe later on to go after somebody.
But and at 20, I mean, anybody's in play there. I mean, any of these five quarterbacks we've mentioned here. Sam Howell from North Carolina, this is a PFF's top rated quarterback at this point in the process. And he was a top five lock before the season. And then North Carolina lost on offense. They lost Javonte Williams and Michael Carter running back to the draft. They also lost Diami Brown and Daz Newsome to the draft. Not a whole lot of talent there offensively, but Howell still threw for over 3,000 yards, 24 touchdowns to 9 interceptions. I see him as, and PFF put it perfectly on him, he's a one and run type of thrower where he's either going to see that wide receiver winning and get the ball out and over the top quickly, or he's going to run, or he's going to make one decision and he's going to go with it. So as far as actually reading the field, I don't think he's there yet. That's why I don't think he's going to end up going in the first round. But those, the size, the traits, you know, the arm strength on deep passes, and he ran for 824 yards this past year. I mean, to me, that's a lot to work with. So that's why I've got him third behind Willis and Pickett.
Yeah, and one of the guys that I think is hilarious, because you just mentioned Howell being the top rated, was, I know you probably recall this, but early on in the draft process, everybody was trying to push Desmond Ridder up the board. And then everybody went and looked at him and went, no, never mind. So he's an interesting one. I can't get behind Matt Corral. And Carson Strong's one that just continues to slide, in my opinion. There's not a lot I love with him. I tend to like some of the guys, to be honest with you, down at the bottom of the pile more than anybody we're talking about thus far. And the best part about that is if Miami goes quarterback, it'll probably be somebody down the list of ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll get to those in a second there, because I know you had a name in your mock draft that you want to talk about. Yeah, as far as Desmond Ridder, he's right there with the other guys, but I'm with you on that. I mean, I've said he's a less accurate Ryan Tannehill in that he's big, he's 6'4", he's 216. He's a patient quarterback, I would say.
I would say slower decision-making.
That's scary.
But patient, that's better. That's nice.
And look, but the guy is 6'4", 216, and he ran a 4.49. I mean, I would argue he doesn't show that a lot, kind of like how, you know, Tannehill was fast, but was he actually running away from people in the open field? No, and I don't think Ridder would either. And Ridder doesn't use his feet as much as like a Matt Corral or a Sam Howell do, or at least in college. But I will say he's big. He's got a good arm. He ran a 4.49. He's gotten better every single year. And people rave about his character. I just don't know if he's going to actually be able to put it all together. To me, for him to be successful, he's going to have to go to a team like the Saints that have a need a quarterback. They've got a good defense. They've got Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. Even without Armstead, they've got a pretty good offensive line. I could see him going there and kind of caretaking that roster for 8 or 9 wins until he gets better. But if he goes to the wrong situation, you ask him to win games on his own, I think you're setting him up for failure.
So, Kat, I think you just sold Sam Howell to Shake, one of our admins, because the way you just described Sam Howell was the same way a lot of people talked about Justin Herbert in his final year.
I can see that. I mean, look, Herbert, as far as intermediate passes, was very accurate. He would throw to the wrong shoulder, and that always bothered me. Just the details of Herbert's game is why I went away from him as a prospect. But Yeah, I mean, you put, say something crazy happens and Sam Howell falls to day three. I don't think there's any chance in hell that's going to happen. But that ability to throw the ball over the top, the defense, now you've got Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. Yeah, that might be worth drafting in the fourth round as a developmental quarterback, because we're always in favor of throwing as many resources at that position as possible. Because if you hit on a third or fourth rounder, you saw with Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, Russell Wilson, these guys, you're able to take a $1 million contract per year and rebuild the roster that way. So I'm getting way ahead of myself.
I can see it now, Kat. We'd get him and we'd have about 40 running plays and two pass plays. Oh, no, three pass plays. Screen right, screen left, throw rainbow downfield.
that might be the offense Howell has to be in, because if you ask him to get in there and make all these tight window throws, I that's not going to work out for him. Matt Corral, you know, it's funny is Matt Corral is somebody that most people have as their second or third quarterback in this draft. And we've both got him down here as fifth. And I'm curious why you had him lower than the other guys.
I know he's coming off the injury and he does have some talent, but again, he's part of just like, I've got, this is going to sound terrible, right? But my quarterbacks this year are like tiered, and there's great, which has nobody in it. There's excellent, nobody in it. And then there's maybe he'll be good. And you got Malik Willis. And then you've just got meh. There's one band that's just meh. And Matt Corral, Carson Strong, Desmond Ridder, Sam Howell, they all have too many question marks. They haven't shown that they've all got quirks that keep them from hitting that, potentially even being able to come near a ceiling, or scarily enough, they might be at their ceiling already. And it's not a position of need for me. And like for Miami, there's no way I'd take a chance with, you know, a lot of these guys. And then even if I was on a quarterback hungry team, Jesus, like the temptation's there. If I had to get one of these guys to just design some type of elaborate wildcat offense, like it's that just,
Yeah. Corral makes plays with his legs. And the thing for me with him is, when you're talking about a quarterback and the first couple of things that come out of your mouth about him are that he's a team leader and he's tough and he makes plays with his legs, I immediately, those are red flags to me. And as far as throwing the ball, he has a really tight, compact, quick release that it's impressive to watch when he makes that throw. But he also, as far as getting the ball out and over the top, it doesn't look good. And, you know, if 6 foot,
I just want to jump in for 1 second and I'll hand it right back. If you're going to go with Matt Corral in this draft and what he offers, you might as well just wait and take Dustin Crum in the seventh or undrafted, because you can say some of the same question marks are about him, because Dustin Crum can run RPO. He can run the short game all day, but there's questions about his mechanics. There's questions about his accuracy. There's questions about his decision-making and if he's ever going to actually be able to make those NFL throws, but he can lead an offense and he's charismatic.
Well, I think that the difference is Corral can, as far as intermediate throws, he can absolutely fit the ball into tight spots. He's a good athlete. And, you know, he also took an Ole Miss team from 500 to, you know, 10 wins and 11th ranked in the nation last year. So he's put a lot of good things up there. That there's no doubt about that. And to me, he's got to go to an RPO type of team where you're really limiting the throws that he needs to make. And because of that, I don't think there's going to be I don't think all 32 teams are going to be interested in him. And he's already had injury problems. He's 6'2", 200 pounds, but part of his game is being tough and taking a lot of hits. Well, when I hear that, I hear injured in the NFL because of that style. So yeah. Again, guy can go anywhere. Speaking of injured, Carson Strong from Nevada, if his knee were healthy and we were playing in the 1980s, Carson Strong might be the number one pick in the draft. I mean, we're talking about somebody who is big, 6'5", 230 pounds, and 6'4", 220 pounds. And has a rocket for an arm, and it's an accurate arm too. The thing is with him, though, he has absolutely no escapability. He's going to throw the ball inside the pocket. One comparison I saw is Drew Bledsoe. I'd say he's a worse version of Drew Bledsoe. But he's also got osteochondritis in his knee. And, you know, without getting too deep into the medicals, that knee is in really bad shape. And I think it's going to drop him here on a lot of boards. And basically what that means is that that knee, it's blood struggles to get to the bone in that knee. So it higher risk of injury and more than likely a degenerative injury. I'm not enough of a doctor to elaborate on that. But, and also too, when you're a pocket quarterback, you rely on that knee to, you know, if you're standing in the pocket. So, you know, I think a lot of people are going to be shocked at where Carson Strong ends up going because of that injury. Some people have him in the second. I see him falling mid to late day three.
Yeah.
Early to mid day three, I should say. Fourth, fifth round, I'm going to say.
I think he'll go in the first two rounds, but I don't think he deserves to go in the first two rounds. There's still some very quarterback hungry teams that are going to panic when the game of musical chairs here starts to settle down even more. You can see some of that panic already as far as the free agency and draft trade market went thus far. Baker Mayfield may be the best of what's available right now, and that's not a good place to be. Although Jimmy G might be available too, and that's also not a great place to be. So,
yeah. If I had to guess, I would say Jimmy G ends up staying and Baker Mayfield ends up with Seattle and competes with Drew Lock. Panthers traded for the third overall pick in 2018 and Sam Darnold last year, and that was a nightmare. If they trade for the first overall and Baker Mayfield, who is less likable than Sam Darnold was, I think that's going to be even worse there for the Panthers, even though I think Mayfield's a lot better than Darnold. But yeah, Paul, looking at the rest of the quarterbacks, I mean, after these top six, you've got seven or eight guys that either you want nothing to do with, or maybe, hey, sixth, seventh round could be worth a flyer. I'd say the consensus seventh guy is Bailey Zappe from Western Kentucky. I'm not a big fan. I don't see the arm at all. He threw for almost 6,000 yards last year and 62 touchdowns for Western Kentucky. Don't get too excited, though, because Brandon Doughty, if you remember him, sixth or seventh rounder for the Dolphins back in the Adam Gase era in 2016, threw for 97 touchdowns for Western Kentucky in 2 years. So didn't amount to much. I think Zappe's career, NFL career, is going to be similar, even though he might be a little bit better of a prospect. But I've got three names.
He's got enough upside between him and guys like Caleb Ellaby in different ways that they're worth a late round flyer on to bring them in and just see what they've got and see how you can develop them, especially if you've got a room full of teachers out there.
Yeah. Ellaby is somebody that I had on kind of my short list as guys in the sixth, seventh round I might be interested in. You know, he's got mobility, he gets the ball out quickly. I think he really struggles to drive the ball outside the hash marks, but you know, you're going to have limitations at this point in the draft. I'd say the top guy I'd like with one of those seventh round picks would be EJ Perry from Brown. And, you know, I know the Ryan Fitzpatrick comparison is going to be a little bit lazy on it, but I've watched a few games of his. I watched him in the East-West Shrine game. I can see the comparisons. He plays with great anticipation. And like with Fitzpatrick, what I liked is when he would start making plays with his feet, he would use every last inch before the line of scrimmage, before he'd need to throw the ball. And he'd understand the risk. He understands risk when he's playing. So he knows when to put the ball high and away. He knows when to tuck it. Those are the kinds of things that I'm looking for out of a backup quarterback. Had 241 yards passing in the East-West Shrine game, three touchdowns. But if you look over the last 2 years, 45 touchdowns, 26 interceptions, you know, not even a 2-to-1 interception, touchdown interception ratio. Fumbled the ball a lot too, but he also played on Brown. So you're not surrounded by a lot of, you know, incredible talent. But you get in the seventh round and you draft him, he's somebody I would like. Also, Jack Cohn there from Notre Dame, transferred from Wisconsin, came to Notre Dame for a year, threw for 25 touchdowns to six interceptions. I think in the post-draft, he's moved up a little bit from that undrafted free agent range to the late rounds. Good size, accurate, just not a whole lot else left to his game. You're looking at probably a Chad Henne type backup
for his entire career. I missed who you're talking about on this one. Sorry.
No, Jack Cohn from Notre Dame.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, and also Brock Purdy from Iowa State, kind of a West Coast offense guy. Never emerged into the, you know, second or third round pick. A lot of people thought he would be probably going to go late rounds too. So, yeah, Perry Cohn, Brock Purdy, those really are the three guys that I have my eye on in the seventh round for the Dolphins.
Yeah, I do like Brock Purdy. I do like a couple of the other guys. Eric Berrier out of Eastern Washington is a guy I mentioned the other day. He's got very weird footwork, I'll say, but he's one of those guys that he had a very clean pocket a lot of the time at Eastern Washington. And when he did, he just destroyed people. He made good decisions, went through his reads, put the ball in special places. And if the pocket started to break down, he made a lot of plays with his feet as well. He hasn't played a tremendous amount of games. He seems very raw, but he's somebody that you may be able to grab, stash in your practice squad, play with for a few years and see how you develop him. Another one that intrigues me is Chris Olodokun out of South Dakota State. He's one of those guys that he's below the radar. He needs some development work. I actually would probably put him above some of the guys that are ranked out there. And he's somebody that's been underrated everywhere he went and managed to rise above. And we've seen those type of Cinderella stories in the NFL before. He can make every throw. He doesn't turn the ball over a lot. And he's somebody else I just keep kind of half an eye on out there as well.
Sure. And, you know, you look back at the 49ers, they were able to develop Nick Mullins, who's turned into a, you know, I'm not going to say a great backup, but somebody who's bounced around the league and got in there and played pretty well. He was an undrafted free agent, you know, there out of Southern Miss. And, you know, it's a smaller school. That's where Pat Surtain went, actually. And, yeah, I mean, I think the Dolphins may be looking for somebody like that here in the seventh round or as an undrafted free agent, somebody who kind of is flying under the radar, maybe doesn't have the best size. Mullins was only 6'1", 210. But, you know, may be a little bit more physically talented and more ready for the NFL game than people think. So those are the types of guys we're looking for.
The thing I'd say on that, too, is they want somebody that can play either that West Coast-y RPO type offense. They're not going to look at, you know, your traditional pocket passer with the way that they've built this team to play. And we need to chuck a few guys off the pile and look at the style of play that they have. And I think I'm saying essentially similar to what you were saying, but I just wanted to reinforce that a little bit. And, you know, just so if people are out there looking, take a look at what he's doing, what he runs, or how he would be a fit at the next level. Because sometimes these guys in college are forced into a square peg, forced into a round hole, running a system that doesn't fit their skill sets.
Sure. And that's why, too, I think Jack Cohn's not going to be on the Dolphins' radar because he's more of a pocket passer, more of a vertical option type guy. So I look more at E.J. Perry and Brock Purdy, and you brought up some great names, too, there. So we're going to get through these positions over the next month. The NFL draft is 1 month from today, and we're going to have you all ready to go, not from just a Dolphins perspective, but also from a high level of what's going around the NFL. And that's going to do it for our breakdown here of the 2021 NFL Draft quarterback class. I'm Brian Kett, NFL on Twitter, Paul's Fanatic_pick. Be sure to join us on Twitter, Facebook, all of our social media outlets, as well as the Fansided Network and FinFanatic.com. And if it's not on the right side and it's not on the left side, it is on the Fin side.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.